is an interview with Joseph J. Kaplan at his home, 6351 Limewood Circle, November the 3rd, 1977. Herman Landau, interviewer.
I was the oldest of six children of the marriage of Minnie Epstein and Julius Kaplan. My father was born in Kovno, Poland, and my mother was born in Bialystok, Poland. My father's family came to this country in the last years of the 19th century and settled in Louisville, Kentucky, by reason of the fact that my grandmother Kaplan's sister, Mrs. J.D. Walker, was living here at that time with her husband and family. My mother's family came to Louisville because of relatives of my grandfather Epstein who were living here and came at their invitation and lived with them for some time. My father, after marrying my mother, moved to Salis, Mississippi, a village near Kosciuszko, Mississippi. He had been told that it was easier to make a living down there than it would be in Louisville. And two, a friend of his, Louis Glazer, had a store in Louisville, Mississippi, which was near Salis, Mississippi. I was conceived in Salis, Mississippi, and my mother came back to Louisville, and I was born on January 22, 1908, in the old Gray Street Hospital. The town of Salis, Mississippi is best described as a village where there was a railroad track out about 50 yards in front of the line of stores which were built in the side of a hill. And then there was the train station there. And a man died on the post office steps on a Monday, and it became news in the town the following Saturday. This was the village of Salis, Mississippi, where I spent the first 4 years of my life. When I was 4 years old, my family moved back to Louisville, and my father opened, built and opened up a retail store at 11th and Walnut Streets in the city. My grandfather, Kaplan, had never moved from Louisville. And he and my grandmother lived on Walnut Street near Preston Street on the second floor of the red brick house, as I remember. And he was a very wonderful man, a very religious man. He was the shochet. And I remember many Friday afternoons watching him take in the nickels for killing the chickens for the Shabbat. My recollection of my grandfather is one of beautiful memory, because it was my grandfather Kaplan with whom I spent a good deal of time in my early years. I was with them over most every weekend. He and his brother-in-law, Mr. J.D. Walker, and Mr. J.D. Walker's son, Mr. Shaffet, a very learned and erudite, beautiful man, young man, together with Mr. Guerin, Rabbi Zarchi, I think Mr. Landau, and if I'm not mistaken, I recall it may have been Mr. Klanberg, who was then a tailor, and perhaps Mr. Persky. Later became the town MOA. Organized, got together, and decided that it was necessary to have a Hebrew school, an afternoon Hebrew school, rather than to leave the Hebrew education to a few men who gave personal individual instruction.
What accounted for their liberal approach to this education business? They were far ahead of their times in education, because they invited girls to learn as well as boys.
I've often wondered about that, because after all, we do know that the older members of the more orthodox, and the Orthodox members of our community, sort of consider the girls and the women the sort of second inferior and not entitled to the education that the men are men. But it was the younger people of that time that felt that the girls needed the education just as much as the boys did, and that it was not improper for them to sit in the same class.
Can you characterize your father as one of the younger members?
Yes, my father was one of the younger members. And so the girls did go to the Hebrew school. It was organized in 1908. I do know that I was 6 years old when I was enrolled as a student at the Hebrew school. And, one of the early teachers there was a man by the name of Mr. Bieber, who was principal, and a man by the name of Mr. Katz, who was a rather tall man with a flat finger, and he was one of my early teachers. I went to this school at age six, when I was 1914, and Mr. Katz was my first teacher. The school was at Brook and Walnut Street, and I attended the afternoon classes at the Hebrew school until I was past age 15. I recall many an evening skating home on one skate from Brook and Walnut Streets to 11th and Walnut Streets in time for dinner. And as the years went by, and as we grew older, while our classes were scheduled for later in the afternoon, so that after age 11 or 12, I never got home in the evenings before 7:30 for dinner. And in those days, the classes lasted for 2 hours at a session. And we went to classes 7 days a week. On Saturdays, we had services, devoted more time to services. We used to play kickball with a sandbag, with a bag of sand. We'd tie the lace around the shoe and kick it, and then run to a base, and whoever got the sandbag, if they hit you with it when you were out. Then we always had our 2 cents in those days to buy a sour pickle every afternoon and pick it out of Mr. Salmon's barrel. He had the little grocery store at Brooklyn Water Street, so on the southeast corner of the street. He was Robert Salmon's father, and the twins,
Harry and Ellie.
And we had real good class at the Hebrew school in those days. In that class, there were two girls. There was Rose Lyon and a Mormon girl who is now Harris. It's her first name,
Bess
Harris, who has since become head of the Mizrahi organization here in town. And there was Israel Landau, there was Morris Kleinberg, who later became the son of the Taylor, and he was he later became a rabbi. There was the Rosenthal boy. His older brother was earlier graduated from the school and became a rabbi. The one in our class was named Hilmer Rosenthal. I think his father was in the overall business. And later, Hilmer, I think, went to Detroit and became a social service, and went into the social service field. Then there was a boy by the name of Goldstein, and there was Sidney Friedman, there was Robert Persky, and myself. And I don't know that I may have left out one or two. The bright lights and the very fine students in that class were first Israel Landau, and then Morris Kleinberg, and then Sidney Friedman. Those were the three outstanding students. Well, Robert Persky was in that class.
You mentioned that.
And Robert Persky was the fun guy, and he was always getting everybody else in trouble, and particularly me, because he had a bean shooter, and he would sit in the back of the class, and with good aim, he'd hit in the back of the head, and I would shout out, and turn around and say something to Persky, but Rabbi Zaltzman always thought that I was just interrupting his class, and I always had to stay after class. But after Rabbi Zaltzman was convinced that Persky was the culprit, he made him sit up front. But that didn't deter Persky, because whenever Rabbi Zaltzman would be writing something on the blackboard, Persky would turn around and shoot his pea shooter and manage to hit some bullseyes, and But it was, notwithstanding, it was a good class, and we graduated as a class in 1922. As I say, we continued after we were bar mitzvahed. I was bar mitzvahed at the B'nai Jacob congregation. I was a member of the choir there. I don't know how the cantor managed to convince my father that I had good enough voice to be in his choir because I didn't remember it to be of any great quality.
Sounds pretty good to me.
But I even remember having a solo for one Friday evening service. And remember my voice cracking right in the middle of it, and it had to do with the Ashkedana. But I did sing in the choir there for about 3 years, and I enjoyed it. My father, of course, my grandfather first was the became the collector of the for the Hebrew school. He, his job was to walk around the community, the Jewish community, and to present them with the $1.50 or $2 bills for the education of their son or daughter at the Hebrew school. And later on, Mr. Klein, Nathan Klein, became a collector. My father became president of the Hebrew school in the early 20s and continued as president of the Hebrew school until he died in March 1929. And he had some difficult situations to contend with during that time. I can recall how he and Mr. Guerin used to get together and get up $75 to $100, which had to be gotten together to meet a payroll, and that was done many a time. The Guerin that I'm talking about, Mr. Guerin, was Max Guerin's father. His name was Hyman Guerin. He had a grocery store on 7th Street. He, Papa had great interest in the Hebrew school, devoted all of his spare time to it. He actually financed the operation for some little time. He found that he was being, his operation, or rather the school, was being undermined by Rabbi Mandelbaum, who was then who had then become the rabbi of the merged congregation known as Knesset Israel. Mandelbaum was a young man, and he was very much interested in establishing his own school, and went about doing it. And my father felt that this was going to upset the global Hebrew school, and he fought against it. And he was just about ready to win his fight when he took sick in the fall of 1928. And, these things finally worked out. Mandelbaum did, a year or so later, withdraw some of his children from the school, established one or two grades in his synagogue. And then Rabbi Gittleman maintained that out of self-preservation, he had to do the same thing with his congregation. And the end result of it was that he had three afternoon Hebrew school operations in town for quite some time. The congregations were not at all successful, and Rabbi Gittleman tried to get a good instructor, but he didn't. There wasn't just enough by way of money to compensate a full-time person, and there were other problems involved. A number of children, difficulty with parents, and sort of thing, which he recognized at that time as being pretty hard, but he maintained the school. And so did Mandelbaum for some few years, after which Mandelbaum gave up the school because of the pressure and because of the lack of success that he had in the school. So that the Hebrew school then became a Hebrew school for just a few of the members of the conservative congregation. One or two members of the Reformed congregation, but mostly members of Anshei Sephard and Knesset Israel. In 1955, Jewish Community Center, then known as the YMHA, was about to build its building. And in planning its building, they asked the Hebrew school if they wanted to have their classes there. And one of the important things was whether it was the consideration of the having one Hebrew school for all of the Jewish children in the city. In other words, arranging for the Hasharon children to come back into the Hebrew school. The then president of the Hebrew school, a very dedicated and sincere person, was in the factory business. Abe Zaitzer asked me if I would undertake to preside over the meetings of the committee that was to make some decision about this, which included the rabbis and the representative members of the several congregations. And fortunately, we did work out a working situation acceptable to the rabbis so far as the teaching curriculum, so far as the hours and schedule at that time, so that Rabbi Gittleman and Rabbi Rudman and Rabbi Brilliant, I think it was at the time, it was Rabbi Brilliant, I'm not sure who, all subscribed to a working arrangement and asked that the Hebrew school then hold its classes in the new building at the Jewish Community Center, which was opened in December of 1955 in, on Dutchman's Lane. This was the building was completed and finally occupied by the center and opened on December the 10th and 11th, 1955. My date just a little wrong. The I became president of the Jewish Community Center in July of 1955. So that when I held these meetings before, I was not the president at the time. It was just a friend of the Zeitzers and the Whiskey and the center. And I was on the building committee of the center, of course. So that the Hebrew school did open in September of 1955. At the beginning of the school year, the classrooms were finished, and we were able to start the Hebrew school there in the building in September of 1955. They had good enrollment. Good class, and good interest, good school. I became president of the Hebrew school, I think, in 1960, and served for 3 years.
Well, let's hold it there a minute.